I'm joined now by Congressman Ro Khanna. Congressman, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So a lot to talk about right now, but I think the first things first is in the aftermath of Donald Trump's kind of unhinged threat of basically killing, annihilating the entirety of the Iranian population, which, you know, he's obviously since walked back from the edge on. Can you speak about the need, the call to invoke the 25th Amendment from Trump's cabinet members?
This shouldn't even be debated. He threatened genocide. He threatened to wipe out an entire Iranian people from the face of the earth. Of course, he needs to be removed from office. Of course, Democrats need to take every possible step, either by the invocation of the 25th Amendment or impeachment, to make sure that he's removed. This is about fighting for our moral vision of the country.
You know, that there are going to be Republicans who say this is just how Trump negotiates. He was never really going to do it. You know, you Democrats are being too sensitive. And in the end, he got a deal anyway. So what would your reaction to that be?
America has never threatened evil. Even Richard Nixon, who came up with the madman theory, the unpredictability of a president, never threatened to annihilate all of the Vietnamese people. FDR never threatened to wipe out all the German people. Reagan never threatened to wipe out all the Russian people. There is something evil about a president threatening that, saying that America is indifferent to human life. And I don't care whether it's a negotiation technique. It compromises everything we believe in, which is the dignity of human life. There are plenty of other ways to be a bold negotiator and make credible threats short of genocide.
You know, there, when we think about the 25th Amendment, it doesn't happen unless his cabinet actually does it. I mean, inherently, that is how the tool is exercised. But he's filled his cabinet with people who are loyalists for him. I mean, you know, that is actually the only qualification to be a member in good standing of the Trump cabinet. And so how do you reconcile the impasse that we would be at where you would need cabinet members to sign on to this effort, but the cabinet members are only there because they are undyingly loyal to the president?
Well, that's why we need to pursue both the 25th Amendment and impeachment. I mean, here's the reality. The Republicans threw out this 25th Amendment unfairly against Joe Biden, who still had all his faculties and judgment when he was president. Yeah. And yet the Democrats, who actually have an issue of a president who's gone crazy, are not being bold enough to say, look, this is this time where we need a 25th Amendment. This is the time we need an intervention where you have a president saying that you may wipe out Iran. What is he going to say tomorrow? Is he going to say we could wipe out Cuba? Is he going to say wipe out Gaza? We need to have a check on this president. So my view is that this is the time where the Democrats need to fight. We need to fight with every tool available, the 25th Amendment, impeachment, and say that we're standing up for the moral integrity of America, for our values. And a lot of the base is upset that they don't see that passion, that clarity, that fight in the Democrats. They can count the votes. They know it's an uphill battle, but they want us to fight and make sure we're standing up with every fiber of our being against an illegal war.
And I completely agree. And in fact, that has been, I think, the most important thing to focus on, this idea of finding Democrats who are willing to fight, who are willing to exercise power. I have a book coming out in a couple of months that is all about exercising power when we have it. I want to play devil's advocate here, though, and say, yeah, and ask you about this idea that, okay, let's say there is an impeachment fight that actually does boil to the surface. You know, I feel like there's a world where Trump could look at that and say, that's actually exactly what I want, because that can negatively polarize, you know, that can polarize the country. And then it can fall. We can have a situation where I get to play the victim. I get to say that the Democrats are coming after their favorite president. And all of those Republicans who might have been on the fence about certain things, like Nancy Mace and Lauren Boebert, Thomas Massie, will suddenly feel like, OK, if this is just going to be the usual D versus R food fight, then I can, you know, rally the troops again.
Brian, if this was 2020, then I would understand your points. But now you have Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Taylor Greene calling for the 25th Amendment. Now you have his base having felt betrayed because of his protecting the Epstein class, because of his protecting pedophiles, because of his starting wars of choice. And you know what I'm hearing from Democrats? I'm hearing that Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker Carlson shoot stronger statements than many Democrats did.
Yep.
And they are frustrated that you have bland statements issued in press releases when the Trump is threatening genocide. They want us to fight. And just because we're pursuing impeachment or the 25th Amendment doesn't mean that we're going to forget the rest of the agenda. We're going to fight for the working class. We're going to fight for universal child care, for expanding Medicare for all. We're going to fight for a living wage. We're going to fight for paid family time off. We're going to fight to tax billionaires. But you know what we're also going to do? We're going to fight for elite accountability. We're going to hold people who violated the law, who think they don't have to follow the rules, we're going to hold them accountable.
Yeah, I think that was perfectly put. I want to switch topics here now to Pam Bondi. News has just come out that Pam Bondi is not planning on attending the sworn deposition on April 14th, so less than a week from now. Can I have your reaction to the legality, first and foremost, of this move, and whether it feels like the House is going to settle for Pam Bondi's refusal to comply?
Well, it's illegal. Nancy Mace and I wrote a letter this morning to Comer. That's what precipitated Bondi's response. And we said that we still expect Pam Bondi to come. The subpoena that Nancy Mace and I drafted, the motion, said Pam Bondi as an individual. It did not say Pam Bondi in her role as attorney general. So we're going to continue to pursue this. She's going to appear before the committee. I mean, if Jim Comer could trace like Captain Ahab, Hillary Clinton, to come 20 years after she was in office, certainly Pam Bondi needs to appear. And we're also going to continue to push for testimony from all the other people in the Epstein class implicated.
In terms of the logistics behind forcing compliance with the subpoena, is this something that would be voted on in committee, in which case the fact that Nancy Mace is on our side, the accountability side, doesn't bode well for Pam Bondi's ability to not comply? Or is it going to be a unilateral decision by James Comer to determine whether or not that subpoena is valid?
No, it will be voted on in committee, and Comer knows that. He knows he doesn't have the votes. And then Nancy and I would bring a subpoena again for Pam Bondi as an individual. This is just a delay tactic. We'd have to vote for it again. My guess is we won't even have to vote. They will find an alternative date for Bondi. And it's just a issue of delaying and buying her time. But we have the votes. And we also need to vote to subpoena now Todd Blanche, who's the acting attorney general, to get him to appear. But it is awfully convenient, Brian, that the president fires Pam Bondi a week or two before her. She's scheduled to appear in the Oversight Committee. It just highlights that there is a cover-up. This is one of the biggest scandals in American history, and it's been one of the biggest cover-ups in American history.
Well, you know, we've spoken about my next question a few times, but I think for posterity, it's worth reiterating here, and that is, what happens in the event that Pam Bondi decides not to comply when the only agency that would be tasked with holding her to account for failing to comply with a subpoena would be the very Department of Justice that we all know would never lay a finger on Pam Bondi?
Well, and this is why we can't just, as Democrats say, when we win in 26 and 28, we're going to move on move forward. We need to have accountability. And that accountability is going to start, of course, with prosecution of people who actually raped and abused these young girls on Epstein's Island and Ranch. But it's also going to mean accountability for people like Pam Bondi, who either covered up or if they fail to appear in front of a committee, that's criminal contempt. And when we have a majority in the House, we can vote for criminal contempt for Pam Bondi. So life is much longer than Donald Trump. He's soon going to be a lame duck. And soon people are going to realize that the Trump umbrella of protection no longer protects you when he's no longer in power.
What message would you have for Todd Blanche as he engages in similar behavior as Pam Bondi did, recognizing that Trump isn't going to be in office forever and that he's not going to have the tool and that Blanche isn't going to have the tools of the DOJ at his disposal forever?
Well, this is where there's a reckoning. Every person who violated the Epstein Transparency Act can be prosecuted for obstruction of justice. If you hid documents, if you engaged in redactions. And the next president should do something immediately, which is appoint a special counsel to deal with the Epstein issue. And that special counsel should meet with survivors, meet with survivors' lawyers, and really oversee to have full transparency, have all of the files released, no redactions, and see where there need to be investigations and prosecutions. By the way, the Senate should make this the fight in the new attorney general. I know there are many other issues, but this is the issue that the American people are outraged by, that a group of rich and powerful people have gotten away with things that they can. And we should insist that the new attorney general release all the files and pursue investigations and prosecutions.
Perfect place to leave off. Congressman, as always, thanks for your voice and thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you.